Welcome to episode number 25 of the Electrical Estimator podcast. I'm your host, Ken Dickerson. Today we are going to talk about something that shows up on nearly every commercial electrical project and yet is one of the most commonly underestimated items: electrical metallic tubing conduit, or what most electricians call EMT. At first glance, EMT might seem simple. It is just thin-walled conduit used to protect and route wires. You see it in office buildings, schools, and retail spaces. But when you sit down as an estimator and begin putting a price on EMT, you realize that the cost is not just about the pipe itself. The cost is in the fittings, the supports, the labor to install it, and the conditions on the job site. Estimating EMT accurately requires attention to detail, a solid understanding of labor productivity, and a willingness to think beyond just material prices. Let us begin with the material itself. EMT comes in standard sizes, typically from half an inch up to 4 inches. The price of EMT rises quickly as the size increases. A 10-foot stick of half-inch EMT may cost only a few dollars, while a 10-foot stick of 4-inch EMT can cost many times that. When you are counting conduit runs on drawings, the first step is to measure accurately and make sure you know the size of each run. This may sound obvious, but I have seen many estimates where the wrong size was assumed, and the cost difference was dramatic. You also must remember that conduit is sold in standard lengths, usually 10-foot sticks. That means you must allow for cuts, waste, and extra lengths for bends. Fittings are another part of the cost. Every piece of EMT needs couplings, connectors, elbows, and straps. These items may look small, but they add up quickly, especially on large projects. If you forget to count the fittings, your material cost will be too low. Some fittings are standard set screw or compression types. Others may be special, such as rain-tight connectors for outdoor work. The type of fitting required is usually in the specifications, and the cost can vary significantly. An estimator who ignores fittings is like a cook who leaves out half the ingredients. The recipe will not work. Supports also matter. EMT must be supported at specific intervals according to code. That means hangers, clamps, or brackets. If your run is across an open ceiling, you may need threaded rod and beam clamps. If your run is along a wall, you may need masonry anchors. If your run is underground or outdoors, you may need special supports. Each of these adds material and labor. Estimators must measure not only the conduit itself, but also the number of supports required, based on code spacing. This is where experience pays off. A seasoned estimator knows that a 100-foot run of EMT is not just 100 feet of pipe. It is also 10 supports, 2 connectors, 1 coupling, and whatever else is needed to make the run code compliant. Labor is where EMT estimating really becomes an art. Installing half-inch EMT in an open ceiling may take only a few minutes per stick. Installing 4-inch EMT overhead with multiple bends may take hours. Pulling wire through the conduit adds even more time. Labor units in estimating manuals provide average times for different sizes and conditions, but every job is unique. If the ceiling is 20 feet high, you will need lifts. If the space is crowded with ductwork and piping, your crew will work slower. If the runs require multiple 90-degree bends, the time increases. Estimators must visualize the installation and adjust labor accordingly. Waste and scrap are another hidden cost. When you cut conduit to fit, you often end up with pieces that cannot be used. Bends sometimes require more length than expected. Crews may damage conduit during handling. These factors all add up. A good estimator always includes a waste factor, often around 5 to 10%, depending on the project. Without it, you will find yourself short on material in the field. Let me share a story from my own career. I once worked on a school project that had miles of EMT. The estimator before me had measured the runs carefully, but had forgotten to include the supports. On paper, the material looked cheap, but in the field, every run required hangers, clamps, and anchors. The cost overrun was enormous. That job taught me a lesson I never forgot. EMT is not just conduit. It is a whole system, and every piece of that system must be counted. Another factor is prefabrication. Many contractors now bend conduit or build racks in the shop before shipping them to the job site. Prefabrication can save labor in the field, but it requires planning and sometimes extra material. Estimators must decide whether prefabrication makes sense for the project and adjust costs accordingly. On projects with repetitive runs, like hotels or apartments, prefabrication can be a game changer, but the estimator must include the labor and overhead for the prefab shop. Job site conditions always influence EMT costs. An open warehouse with exposed ceilings is straightforward. A hospital renovation with existing walls and ceilings is not. In some projects, crews must work at night or in occupied spaces, which slows productivity. In others, union rules may require more manpower. Estimators must think about these conditions when pricing EMT. If you only rely on average labor units, you will miss the reality of the job. Coordination with other trades is another hidden cost. Conduit runs often compete with ductwork, plumbing, and fire sprinklers for space. If the drawings are not coordinated, electricians may have to reroute conduit in the field. That means extra bends, extra length, and extra labor. Estimators should allow for some level of coordination and adjustment, especially on complex projects. Supplier quotes are another best practice. While EMT is a commodity, prices still vary by region, supplier, and time of year. Getting fresh quotes ensures your material numbers are accurate. It also gives you leverage if prices rise during construction. Many contractors develop relationships with suppliers to get better pricing on large orders of conduit. Estimators who skip this step risk using outdated or inflated prices. Testing and inspection should not be forgotten. Inspectors often require conduit to be installed in a specific way, with supports, bushings, and identification. Crews may spend time preparing for inspections, correcting issues, and documenting work. These tasks take time and must be included in the estimate. Documentation also plays a role. Large projects require detailed conduit layouts, as-built drawings, and submittals. Preparing these documents takes time and overhead, which must be included in the estimate. So how do you bring it all together? Estimating EMT accurately means looking at the big picture. You measure the runs, but you also count the fittings, the supports, and the terminations. You price the material, but you also adjust for waste and market fluctuations. You assign labor hours, but you also think about site conditions, access, and coordination. You review specifications, you talk to suppliers, and you visualize how the work will be done. The more detail you put in up front, the fewer surprises you face later. As we bring this conversation to a close, let me emphasize one point. EMT may look simple, but it represents a large portion of electrical work on many projects. Estimating it correctly is not just about math. It is about discipline, experience, and attention to detail. If you take the time to do it right, count every fitting, include every support, adjust for real conditions, you will not only protect your company's profit, you will build a reputation as an estimator who can be trusted to get the numbers right. Thank you for listening to the iBid Electric podcast. Estimating EMT conduit is not glamorous, but it is essential. And when it is done with care, it sets the foundation for a successful project.